May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
Let us read from the Word of God in the Book of the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways, and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush asunder his feet, all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayers should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and causeth and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies caused me sore, my enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head. Then said I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice, hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drawest near in the day that thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong, judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me, and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart. Thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we venture once more to call upon thy great and holy name. O, do grant us prayer, Lord. O, thou knowest we feel so poor and absolutely unable we are. We're insufficient, Lord. Who is sufficient for these things? We are not. But, O, we come now looking away from ourselves to thyself. Thou knowest we sided a hymn two hymns before. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. O Lord, thou knowest how we've been singing. O, a bruised reed he will not break. O, if ever there was a bruised reed, it was Jeremiah. O, how he was, that weeping prophet, had to suffer so much, and to solemnly see so much. O Lord, thou knowest. And we've been reading those words. And now, Lord, some of us here, we can say, In truth, through experience, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his rod. His wrath, O Lord, thy wrath, thy righteous anger for sin, to sinners. But, O Lord, not in that abstract wrathful anger as thou art to the wicked. O Lord, we believe the dear prophet could acknowledge this. Not as the wicked are dealt with was he, or any of thy people. And so we come before thee now, Lord, seeking thee, that thou will come and take full charge of this service. Lead us into thy truth and teach us. May we have the blessed witness and operation of the Holy Spirit among us and in us here tonight. We do seek to worship thee, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, if we gather tonight at the end of the week, Lord, and the friends, those in business, those in their work life, and Lord, they come tonight and gather, Lord. Oh, may there be a blessed feeling of thankfulness to thee for all the help and thy keeping, thy watchful care, and thy providing through the week. And Lord, to gather, Lord, as we do tonight. And all may it be as the beginning of the weekend and for the Sabbath day. Oh, do come here, Lord, and visit us with thy salvation. Bless us, dear Lord, here together. And knoweth thy dear people here that statedly worship here and go on week by week and in the week, Lord, and oh, we do pray. There may be something there as a purpose to do here tonight. Oh, Lord, do bless each one. See thy blessing to each case, Lord. Oh, may we each truly have a case for thee. Lord, thou knowest all the things that have taken their time, their friends and theirs, and the travelling some have done, and Lord, the things of business life and the things that maybe have been of difficulty and trouble, Lord, but, oh Lord, thou knowest all those things. And Lord, we do pray that we may be able to leave them at the foot of the mount. For, oh Lord, we do hope we can say with the prophet, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And Lord, oh, we want to worship thee and thank thee, Lord, for all thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness to us, especially those mercies in Jesus. Oh, for we are sinners, and we are prone to wander, and we cannot keep ourselves. Oh, we've got so much, we come before thee in great need to confess it. Oh, we come confessing our sins, Lord, because we trust thou dost make thy people to become mourners over their sins and after thee. And we do mourn, Lord. Oh, we do feel sorrow of heart for our sinning. Oh, that we have been so much taken up. Perhaps some feel this more than others, but Lord, thou knowest how each one feels personally. Oh, the world and the flesh and the devil. And how the enemy gets and takes advantage, Lord. And how he comes in like a flood. And how we are so prone to wander. And how we slip and we fall and we grieve thee, Lord. This is our trouble, really, Lord, more than anything now. That we grieve thee by our sinning. And Lord, it's even more solemn with some of us because it's near we have to confess our sins are against light and knowledge. Oh, sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. Oh, we trust thou dost give us a tenderness and brokenness of heart, like we've read, humble, made humble by grace. And Lord, in this posture, in this condition, Lord, we feel our guilt more. And Lord, as we know, it is against thee, thy love and thy blood. Oh Lord, we beg thee, have mercy. Oh Lord, hear our solemn confessions. Oh, may we know that John spoke of so wonderfully clearly in the epistle. Oh, well, he wrote it, Lord, recorded it, if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we beg thee, lead us more, bring us more into the wonders of redeeming love. Oh, that we might know, be favoured, have the seal of the Spirit with blood divine, that our sins are all blotted out, put away. Oh, blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. The application of it, Lord, is what we need. Thy holy sin-atoning blood. Oh, help us to come begging it earnestly, Lord, that we may know and taste redeeming love. We may have that application we need. Some here, some of us need a fresh application. Others may be seeking it for the first time in their need of it. Oh Lord, thou knoweth the cases. But oh, may we have earnestness for this great favour. Oh, to know that favour, Lord, for thou didst say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we know, as it was so in that time at the Passover, oh, how greatly typical it is, and oh, how greatly thy people are brought to know their need of this favour, the application of the holy blood of Christ, thy beloved Son, to thy people's hearts and consciences. O Lord, that wonderful voice, we sing of it in those sacred lines of truth they are, Lord. Oh, that voice that speaks for me in heaven's high courts for good. Oh, and can we say, may we be seeking it. May we be seeking the assurance of it. Oh, to know that voice that speaks for me in heaven's high courts for good. It is Jesus' precious blood. Oh, Lord, we plead the blood that did for sin atone. We plead all what thou hast done and brought in. Thy sacrifice, thy death, thy glorious resurrection, and how, Lord, it is rise again for the justification of thy people. Oh, thy holy divine atonement, through the price that is paid, the price thine own heart's blood. Oh, redemption by price paid. But oh, too, may we be on the stretch for righteousness. Oh, Lord, may we know thee, the Lord, our righteousness. May we have the seal of the Spirit. Oh, that the blessed Spirit may so give us to know all what thou didst do is done for us. Oh, we might know thee, that thou didst fulfil the law for thy people. May we know it. It is so fulfilled for us. Personally, Lord, we need personal application. The people, dear people, God, need it, Lord. May there be those that have been seeking it and need it. And, oh, could it please thee to be so mindful in love and mercy tonight of thy people's prayers to come with answers of peace tonight. Oh, the wonderful favours of thy grace, and that we might know, as thou dost give the promises of thy favour, oh, to know great is thy faithfulness, faithful to thy promises, all the precious promises, oh, are to us and for our good, oh, to know it, Lord. We pray for friends in their cases, Lord, and pray they would receive thy blessing to each case. And Lord, there knoweth those that are feeling poorly at this time, much of the things of the troubles of the flesh are about today, and Lord, many feeling unwell. We remember those that feel not able to come out tonight, Lord. Do go to them, Lord, and do soon in thy favour, Lord, raise up. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the little ones that are at home, Lord, the families, Lord, the children, the dear grandchildren, Lord. We pray for them all. Oh, we pray for the families, Lord, there might be a witness in the families of thy work appearing in the young. Oh, Lord, as we've thought over the years here at Swavesey, how we've witnessed it. And, Lord, oh, we look for more, we wait upon thee. And those that are young now, as they were nearly 30 years ago when we come for the first time, there were many young here then. But, oh, Lord, now the young ones now. And, oh, we muse on the years that have passed, Lord, and what thou hast done. But, Lord, we think of the little ones, young people now. And, oh, Lord, not that we could never, would never in a way of wrong confidence think that we could be here another 30 years, Lord. We're coming down to the end of our journey. But, Lord, if time tarries, oh, Lord, our burden is for the souls of the dear young people. That thou would in mercy deal with them, teach them, bless them. And in thy time, as thou hast done, Lord, as we have witnessed, oh, in thy time, may there be yet many more brought in, many more that shall be able to testify what the Lord has done for them. And Lord, of the present generation and the people here, oh, Lord, may there be this exercise. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what he hath done for my soul. O Lord, help us that we may not be left in a sad state of rebellion and disobedience, Lord. O Lord, help us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. May we bear the fruits of the Spirit, Lord. Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, to yield fruit to thy praise. Help us, Lord, give us enabling. And Lord, that we might not neglect this great important favour, Lord. Oh, we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not for salvation, but following on as fruits of the Spirit. All thy salvation is all of thyself. Oh, Jesus is our great salvation, worthy of our best esteem. But, oh, may we show our best esteem in obedience. Oh, may we show our best esteem, Lord, in self-denial. Help us, Lord, to show the world who we love and who we serve. Help us together in the Church of God to commune one with another, to tell the sinners round what a dear Saviour we have found. Oh, may we not be in disobedience, Lord. Help us each. Oh, grant us grace, the graces we need. Oh, we trust thee for thy grace. We need much grace, and we lean on that arm of all-sufficient grace. He giveth grace, he giveth more grace. But, oh, Lord, may we be concerned that we might be so exercised with the graces of the Spirit and so walk with our God, oh, in love and communion. Oh, we might walk hand in hand of his love, be talking day by day till we reach fair Canaan's land. Oh, Lord, help us, be with us each. Oh, we pray for afflicted friends, Lord. There are those especially we think of Our friend dear Bob Rayner in the hospital at Chelmsford, Lord, we know today is a day of decision for his future, Lord, of what shall be done, where he shall be. Lord, they know if the hospital keep saying they cannot keep him there, they know with all his case, we cast it all upon thee, Lord, for him, and with his dear ones and the dear people of Braintree. Thou knowest all regarding him. We pray, do provide in all those things and give wisdom and lead, Lord, and show the way. Lord, thou canst open up the way for him. And oh, if it be thy will to raise him up as we believe it is thy will in measure, oh, we do pray, go on, bless him in his soul. Oh, we think of friends that have lost loved ones, Lord, the departing of many dear friends we have been witnesses of in the churches, Lord. We pray for all those in sorrow and bereavement, Lord. Comfort them, we pray, with the comfort of thy love. May the departing of those that have been taken, Lord, home to glory be so used of thee to make others concerned, Lord, the death of one may be the means of a life of another, if it could please thee in the families and in the churches. O Lord, hear us. O we bow to thy sovereign right to take thy people home. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And O Lord, thou the heavenly husbandman, hath that perfect right to put in the sickle thy harvest of souls. Some of the dear friends here will remember, oh, we spoke of it for the Sunday school nearly getting toward 30 years ago. Oh, how thou dost harvest thy people, taking them home. And oh, may it be the means of life of another as we witness. Young people witness it. O Lord, how thou dost prepare thy people and take them home to glory. So we beg thee, hear us for these things. We pray for our country. O, we pray for our Prime Minister. We know she's been travelling a lot of late. O, we know not exactly where she is. We know she's been to Malta, we think, this morning, but thou knowest where she is, Lord, and do watch over her and help her, Lord. Oh, we do pray for her and for our government and all in authority over us. All these great issues at this time, Lord, the need to do those things and handle those things as they should be according to thy will, we pray. O Lord, help our government. Help them, Lord, and give them integrity and give them that wisdom they need. And oh, we pray for Her Majesty the Queen. Oh, do bless her, help her in her old age, her advanced age. Thou knowest all regarding her. Hear us, Lord, thus for our homeland, England, and still have mercy on us in wrath. Remember mercy, Lord, for there's so much goes on in our land which is so vile and awful in these days. We have legalised awful practices. Oh, we have enacted laws which are so contrary to thy word and the teaching of it, Lord, and all the things of wholesome relationships, rightly so, in that proper form of marriage, all turned around, Lord, and oh, what abomination there is in it now. Oh, Lord, save thy people. Save us, Lord, from all this awful state we're in. Keep us, Lord. Oh, give us thy fear. May there be many granted the fear of the Lord. Help us, Lord, grant us to live in the fear of the Lord. Oh, to keep us from evil. Oh, an unctuous light to all that's right and bar to all that's wrong. So help us each, dear Lord. Come now, we beg. Help us in further singing thy praises. We have felt the first hymn sweetly confirmed, ere exercised, Lord. But, we beg that we may be led on and helped in the service, and we might worship Thee, our Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep Thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless Thy Spirit guide. 904.
Jeremiah was one of those saints of old friends, wasn't he? Jeremiah's Lamentation, chapter 3, and find their text in the verses 19 to 23. That is Lamentation, chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you have those things to remember, friends, of affliction? Do you have those things to remember? Affliction, pain, trouble. Oh, I believe every one of God's people will have those things. And we know it was with the prophet, it was outward things, it was things in the land, things in the area where he dwelt. But oh, it was, sin was the cause of all the woe, ever has been, is still today. And that every one of humanity, if they are taught of God, they will know it and feel it. They are living in the vale of tears. Oh, it is a vale of sin and sorrow here below. And we have to learn it and have to be in it and have to experience many things. But especially it will be for God's people. Oh, we know sin has entered and death by sin, and the whole world lies in this state of ruin. When Adam by transgression fell, he ruined all his future race. And linked in clandestinely with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once put in increased and filled the world with sin. Not many people really think about it, really know it, really understand it. But God's people do, those God is dealing with. God brings them into a solemn realization of this. And personally, God makes them know they're sinners and living in a world, a veil of sin and woe. Oh, friends, how we've had to learn it. And God teaches it, God shows us it, God makes us know it. But especially I want to consider and bring a point in question. Oh, I believe Jeremiah knew it personally, knew it inwardly. And he says here, after we've read quite a bit in the foregoing of his feelings and what he's experienced, he says here, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. And those two, they're two descriptive terms which bespeak of very solemn, hard afflictions. The wormwood and the gall. And friends, I believe if we are to consider this in a profitable way tonight, it will be as we may be able to remember our affliction. He says, mine affliction. He says, he's speaking of it personally. It's his personal case, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. See how personally he's speaking. He says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I want to consider this, how I believe it will be in God's people even today. For things are no different today of the ways of grace. although many things are different, but the things of soul need and soul trouble and the ways of God's way in grace in his people are no different. Different circumstances perhaps, but the reality of experience, and this is what this is full of, experience, the experience of the prophet, and it's the experience of God's people. Remembering mine affliction, did God bring you into soul trouble? Or are you brought into it now? Is it your state and case now to be considering how you were brought into soul trouble? Is it your state and case now you've been brought recently into soul trouble? The Lord has been working to bring you to solemnly consider and know what a sinner you are and how you're guilty before God, a holy, holy God. And when we are brought and shown and brought before the bar of God's justice, really, friends, that's soul trouble. You know you've got a soul, a never-dying soul. You know eternity is before you. You're taught this, you're shown this, and the judgment day is before us each. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. And friends, these serious matters are brought before God's people so that they are seriously led to consider their state and their state and condition they're in and their need of salvation. So remembering mine affliction. Some of you look back many years remembering mine affliction. Some of us, some of you here maybe more recently, or maybe you're in it now. Mine affliction and my misery. The misery because we're sinners and we can't be any different. We can't make ourselves any better. We might try to be better, but we find we're not and we can't. We've broken God's law and we cannot keep it. We're condemned by God. God applies his law and condemns us and brings us into this misery. Misery, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, the bitterness of it, the painfulness of it, and the wormwood. You think of it in the terms of that descriptive word of that which goes on, that which, as it were, is so consuming, so weakening, so afflicting, the wormwood and the gall, the gall, the bitterness, the painfulness of guilt before God, and having this trouble and remembering it. But there is some wonderful light in this part of this chapter, friends, because he's now, whereas before we were speaking of it as experiencing it, now it's remembering it, and remembering it in a gracious way, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance. You could find something the same as this in Psalm 116, where the psalmist there in a wonderful way is expressing his love to the Lord, but he's acknowledging and expressing his love to the Lord, because the Lord heard his voice and his supplication, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. But then he is remembering his affliction and the wormwood and the gall, and he says, I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Now, are there those of you in this tonight? You've found trouble and sorrow. You're experiencing it. Oh, you so acknowledge what you have been brought into, what you did experience, what you continue to experience, soul trouble. Remember in mine affliction, the wormwood and the gall. Like the psalm, as I've quoted, the psalmist said, I'll call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. But listen, then called I upon the name of the Lord. And this is what this affliction, this soul affliction causes, is so applied and used by God. God brings his people into it to make them need to call upon God. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Now in your case, your experience, for I believe it was with the prophet, I believe it is, and so many that are acknowledged in the word of God, it's when they're brought into soul trouble, in soul affliction, they have to cry to the Lord. Look how it's repeated in the 107th Psalm. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Have you been made to cry unto the Lord in your trouble? So here he says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And where we are now, friends, where you are now in your pathway, is it given you to acknowledge and to go back to that time when you first had to beg for mercy, when you mercy sought and you mercy found, but now it seems you may be in darkness or far off and you need the Lord to come again, you need a fresh token. And it may be much more deeper, you'll find in this trouble and the reality of it. And God is afflicting you in love and not in anger, that you have these afflictions and you've got so much that's painful, your sin and guilt before God. And as we expressed in prayer, even more solemn now than what it was when we were first brought under conviction, because we know now, God's shown us now, that our sins are against light and knowledge. Think of it, all our sins, friends, all yours and mine. If we've been raised to a hope, if we've been blessed with some favour by faith of believing in God, believing in Christ, our sins now are more solemn than they were when we were first brought under conviction, or they should be, they will be, if we've been humbled by God and taught of God, they will be more solemn. And so, friends, too, and I must name it tonight, you know, sins, whatever kind they are, there's our besetting sins, unbelief, fears, there's our disobedience, there's our many sins, sins, heart sins, lusts, pride, all the things which are under the heading of sin, all these things should be more solemn now if we have some hope in the gospel. If Christ has been made precious to us, if you've known something of his love, you may think you sin easily and lightly, but you don't. God will chasten you for it. And we should lay to heart this and prize his chastenings, and we should be considering, in a way, begging the Lord to give us grace, enabling grace that we might not sin, but might be kept, and the fear of God in us might keep us, and that willingness to follow Christ, that willingness to take up our cross be granted, and that we not be grieving our God with these sins against light and knowledge. He says, therefore, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Our hope is much kept, it's kept alive and it's enlivened at times in us as God gives us to remember how he didn't leave us, and though he brought us, though he afflicted us, and brought us under the law and condemned us under the law. He didn't leave us there. He raised us to a hope. Oh, I mercy, can you say, some of you say, I mercy sought and mercy found. And oh, here we have it, you see, in this blessed text. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. No, he has made all provision. God Jehovah, God the Lord, has made all provision for his people, for his church. And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God's mercies. Oh, wonderful mercies. Oh, how wonderful is mercy. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those who guilty stand. Wretches who know what help they need will bless the helping hand. Oh, God's mercy. And especially his mercies in Jesus that exempt the church of God from hell, save from sin and death and hell. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Oh, the reality of what you've known and experienced, some of you, and some of you may be brought more into it as you go on, yet you know God shows us, friends, that we deserve to be cast into hell. Oh, have you been brought to have to stand before the bar of God's justice? Here my soul convicted stands of breaking all God's Ten Commandments. And in that state of condemnation, being condemned under the law of God, oh, waiting sentence. Oh, the sentence to be carried out. Oh, if we're waiting in that dungeon of condemnation, and some are in it a long time, some shorter, but oh, the terribleness of that, oh, remembering mine affliction. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. And oh, we were there, long you were there, is in the sovereignty of God. But oh, remembering it, but oh, recalling it now to your mind. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He didn't leave us there. He didn't leave you in that desperate place, that awful state, that state of hopelessness. He came and in great mercy favours his people, raises them to a hope, reveals Christ, and oh, they favoured then to know that hope in the gospel. I think of it in that terms. I've quoted it many times, I know, but it bears repeating. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his knee is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. There's mercy for the vilest of sinners. And oh, they must be brought by the work and operation of the Spirit to come to God pleading for mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You recently heard a sweet discourse of a funeral address of a dear friend, the Lord's servant, Gerald Buss, and he especially spoke in that discourse on mercy. Mercy. So blessedly it seemed to come to one. So blessedly. Here our friend could explain and speak of the mercy of the Lord. You know, the publican had to go and he smote upon his breast crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and God can be merciful. And our friend very ably, graciously explained how God has mercy on his people. Mercy, you're the guilty. Mercy for sinners, even for the vilest of sinners. There's mercy. It's welcome news indeed. Mercy is for them the guilty stand. Wretches who know what guilt, what help they need will bless the helping hand. It is of the Lord's mercy. This is a statement, friends, that stands. It stands in truth. It is proved by experience. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, there's really no other ground, really, for the child of God. It's mercy. We are guilty. We're all brought and made to feel and know we're guilty. God brings his people in guilty. Don't think it can be known any other way, the truth of God and the teaching of the Spirit, the way of salvation. It's mercy or the guilty for sinners, sinners deserving endless pains in hell. But God has mercy on them. He has a purpose. His purposes of love and mercy were all ordered and appointed and agreed in covenant before the world, that Christ should come and suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God, and that God can and will and does have mercy even on them toward guilty, wretched sinners, and brings them in into the favours of the wonders of his grace. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If you've been sinning, as we all have, and been brought into a grieving feeling of it, a great sorrow of it, and in that way, as God shows you how bad your sins are, how wretched you are, how vile you are, and yet here he says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope, though he knows he's a sinner, though he knows he cannot keep himself, therefore have I hope, and therefore have I hope, because the wonderful favour of how God has mercy and he grants to his people to have hope. And it's hope, it's good hope through grace, it's hope in Christ. Hope in Christ, the soul revives, supports the spirits when they droop. Hope celestial comfort gives. Who can give us hope? God can, God will, he does do. Oh, I have hope. Can you say tonight, I have hope, I have hope? I mean, some people, if you say to them, if we in conversation talk to one another as we should, and may it be real things of gracious conversation, oh, sinners communing one with another, and how they have love to Christ, need of mercy, and oh, if we speak of what we feel, oh, and if someone asks you, do you have a good hope? And you know, some, all they can say, all they will say is, I hope so. There's a sense in which that's not really a good hope. It may be, we're not to judge wrongly, brethren, but there's a question that seems to arise, and my querying of it, considering it, just to say, I hope so. Not a really fully grounded hope. You need to have your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And if you have that, that's a good hope. And I think there will be such enabling given to people that are favoured to have a good hope through grace, that they will want to make clear what their hope is, how their hope stands, what ground it is upon. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, no sweet frames, no things of frames and feelings will be any use at the judgment day. No, it must be this wonderful good hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I believe the prophets was this. I believe the prophet's hope here was this. Therefore have I hope. This I recall to my mind. How God had mercy. How God heard his prayers. How God, though he afflicted him, though he brought him into real trouble and real distress, yet how the Lord in mercy so helped him and appeared for him. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God's compassions, and his compassions, oh, what's the ground of them? What's the basis? What's the foundation? The love of God. The love of God to his church, to his people. His compassions fail not. These are not to the world. These are not to the dead professor. These are to the family of God, the children of God. Dear Jeremiah could acknowledge it, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Friends, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. How is it that God's compassions fail not? Oh, grounded upon and in the covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure. And in the covenant of grace is that great wondrous fact, the wonders of redeeming love, that God Jehovah contrived the way. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man. His compassions fail not. They're eternal. They're from everlasting to everlasting. Compassion to sinners. God's compassions, his compassions really, are in that way, even under the law, it's God's compassions. When God's people are condemned and brought in guilty, because he's doing it with a purpose to bring them into the favours of the gospel. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. His compassions fail not. And so there's this, I believe, that God will grant to his people to be able to trace, to acknowledge and trace the compassions of God. Oh, think of it. All what God's ordered for his people. Think of it in your life and pathway. Parents, native, place and time, all appointed were by him. He who formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. That's much acknowledging God's compassions, God's loving kindness. But oh, his compassions. Compassions o'er the guilty. O'er guilty, wretched sinners. You wouldn't think any of us, and we know and feel it, none of us deserve compassion. But oh, his compassions are so wonderful, holy, and his holy will, his love, his everlasting love. And in wonder that Jeremiah was brought to that place, those wonderful words, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, that love is all so much given and shown and emphasised. God's compassion toward wretched sinners. In the covenant of grace, when God chose his people, elect in love, oh, how God exercised his love in that way, in his choice. And oh, he didn't choose. He didn't select, he chose his people. And oh, in his eternal mind from eternity, oh, his compassion. Oh, but think of the compassions of the Saviour. Oh, oh, this was compassion like a God. That when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pity ne'er withdrew. Oh, his compassions. I believe these dear prophets, you see, they look forward to the coming of Christ. They had the wonderful favour of light and favour to believe and to see the prospect and to believe in the coming Messiah. Oh, they knew God's wonderful purpose of love and his compassion. Oh, his compassions, the compassions of the Saviour. Jesus, thou art, oh, compassion, pure and unbounded love thou art, visit us with thy salvation. Oh, be with and help every trembling heart. Change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. Because thy compassions, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Much we will be brought, I believe, to feel that. God will show us it. We will experience it. God's people experience this. They acknowledge this. The grace of God in them gives them to acknowledge it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. His compassions from before the world to his people. But oh, in those wonderful ways, especially the wonderful life and sacrifice of Christ, the compassion of God the Father in punishing his dear Son, his eternal Son, in the ruined place instead of his people. God the Father taking in hand all these his children, adopting them as his own, taking them in hand. But oh, he had agreed, he had appointed it. In covenant it was agreed, the wonderful way contrived by grace, God to save rebellious man, and Christ should come. Oh, the compassion of Christ to the church. He saw it all in ruin. He saw us all under the fall in eternity before the world in perfect agreement, Christ. Oh, in covenant engagement, agreed to come. Oh, think of it. The love of God, the love of Christ, the compassion of God to his people to provide the remedy for sin. Christ to come and be that remedy. Oh, that one, a just God and a Saviour. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Friends, this is that which God's people will know and witness and give witness of as they journey on through life. As pilgrims and strangers, one says they are alone, secure and found, for on their Lord they're waiting, they seek him night and day. His aid they're supplicating in his appointed way, and he gives his aid. He gives the graces of the Spirit. He favours his people with that grace, the God of all grace. He giveth grace, he giveth more grace. He is compassionate to give grace, to give what the children of God need, to give them the needed graces of the Spirit. Oh, his compassions fail not. There's an everlasting supply of loving kindness toward God's people, and his people to experience it and to live in the way of under God's favour. Supplies of grace. We pray for it, friends. Grant us such supplies of grace that we may persevere, and he grants them, because his compassions fail not. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. I think of those lines that have sometimes been with me a lot. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return till thy mercy's beams I see. But oh, God's love to us, friends, he doesn't leave us to go on. Dark and cheerless is the morn. He does visit us with his salvation. He does come again. He does afford us the favours. He's faithful to his promises. Oh, they are new every morning. If we are in the Spirit to acknowledge them, if we are in the Spirit, if we are watchful, if we are giving diligence, And oh, how blessed God's people are, blessed on earth, what is by grace. They feel and know their mournful case and the prospect they have. They live with the prospect. Blessed mourners, they shall shortly rise to endless comforts in the skies. They are new every morning. Are you one who by the grace of God can give witness of this? You see, dear Jeremiah was. He was giving witness of the reality of God's wonderful grace. They are new every morning, these compassions of God Almighty. They are new every morning. Oh, his mercies and his compassions, they are new every morning if we can see it. But let me bring some warnings here in love. See, if you and I are taken up so much with time things and in a state of carnal ease, in a state like the church at Laodicea was, increased with goods and have need of nothing, we will not be acknowledging his mercies, the Lord's mercies. Because of the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. I think of it like this, friends. You know, what we should be very thankful for is as we wake in the morning, we're able to feel, know it and acknowledge it. I'm not in a deserved hell. It is really all mercy outside of that. Just place of desert, just desert, being cast away and cast into that place where the worm dies not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, we're not cast away, we're not, God's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's exercised wonderful love and mercy to his people. And those mercies are all in Jesus Christ, and it's all because and grounded upon his merits, his sufferings, death and merits. And what a favour if we're living and awake in the morning thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and meditating upon him. Oh, you say it's so solemnly different, so much it is with me. But does it give you an appetite, an earnestness, a jealousy? For this, the dear prophet was in the spirit, and he was able to say this, to acknowledge this. Oh, may we be concerned to be in the spirit and be able to say it and prove it and know it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. They are, because God is so abundantly kind and providing and keeping and helping and blessing his people and giving them, especially as, oh, when we feel our sin and guilt, we may look away from self to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind of strong pity, join with power, and see in his holy, precious shed blood. Oh, that wonderful remedy for sin. See in his holy person, his perfect spotless life and obedience, everything you need. Oh, all in Jesus. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. Oh, to be led in this way, in and by the Spirit's exercise. They are new every morning when the Spirit comes and testifies of Christ the Lamb, when he gives us that favour of the eye of faith to behold the Lamb of God. Oh, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. And oh, friends, if we are being prepared for heaven, we are having to be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're having to be prepared to praise God in glory. And we must learn it here on earth. Preach from these things last Lord's Day. I think it was in the evening service at Maidstone, not this subject, but behold, the Lamb of God. John's words, behold the Lamb of God, but then in Revelation, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. If we know this, what we have here, friends, and feel the favour of it, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, that God will so show us it in this wonderful way, this highest blessed way. Oh, all in Jesus Christ, what he has done, and oh, how worthy he is of our praise, friends. Worthy of our best devotion, our Lord, our Saviour, the dear Saviour, the dear Son of God, the Lamb of God. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness to his covenant. Faithfulness to what is said. What God has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build, and they build upon Christ. Christ is the eternal rock on which the church is built. And oh, friends, great is thy faithfulness. God has promised. He has promised that the church of God will stand. His people will be brought home, be with God forever. The wonderful, wonderful blessedness of the state, the eternal state of the election of grace. All those chosen by God ere time began, brought in time to be brought in into the kingdom of his grace. Christ, the head of the church, Lord of all. Oh, our Lord, our life, our all, friends. And oh, God's people, worship in the Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Oh, wonderful. Great is thy faithfulness. How great it is. God is absolutely, perfectly faithful to all what he's promised. Has he given you a promise? Has he given you a promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Has he given you a promise that you're one of his sons, that he has loved you? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, what a promise is in that. What a tremendous word, a statement it is. The love of God to sinners. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Sin born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown and prospect. Jesus gives them endless glory and renown all through his sacrifice, his spotless obedience, his complete and full satisfying of the law of God and his shedding his holy blood, making atonement for the sins of the whole family of God. And oh, he says, the favour is so to be sealed by the Spirit. Application of the blood is what you need. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. God will accept his people, every one of them in his beloved Son. Friends, oh, the holy blood of Christ speaks holy, perfect peace. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made. The church's ever-living head, all hell and sin, as victory won, with a shout of glory gone. He's coming again, he said. He will come again. He's promised he'll come again and receive you unto himself. He's coming to fetch us from Meshach and carry us home. We have the prospect of it. Much we do not know regarding the season when the world shall pass away, but we know God's people, God's saints, have reason to expect a glorious day when the Saviour will return and his people cease to mourn. Aren't they a mourner? Mourners in Zion, mourning over your sins and after Christ. So much you feel the painfulness and guilt of your sin and your shortcomings, your failings. But Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all and to so give us to know in that blessed favour of prospect. He will take us home, land us safe above, out of the veil of tears. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 516. The triune Jehovah we praise, in essence eternally one, who has, by the word of his grace, his counsels eternal made known. The Father, the Spirit and Word, as three in one God and no more, in Zion salvation accord, then let us this one God adore. 516.
Thank you.
Lord, do forgive anything there is seen amiss here tonight. O Lord, bless thy word, bless thy people. O favour them, Lord, those that have had promises. O grant them to know and believe that there would ever be faithful to them. Great is thy faithfulness. There is said, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. There would ever be faithful to it. If there is said, I will not leave you comfortless, we know, we believe there would ever be faithful to it. Whatever there is spoken, oh, there will be faithful too. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Oh, help us, Lord, lead us on. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.